I'm going to start with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your spiritual truth. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to carry your message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we started the big book over, I think, in July. And we're about to finish into action tonight. And to me, this is the end of the instructions on the steps. And then step 12 is how to practice the principles, how to carry the message. And then the wise family afterwards, two employers, and vision for you is really how we live a spiritual life. How do we practice what we've learned in the first 87 pages? And then if we want to keep doing it, we should be working with someone. We should be carrying the message to someone, because that will get me out of self. So, two meetings, we did the instructions for prayer and meditation. We did the inventory at night on page 86. That's how they start this section. And 84 to 88, those four, or there are four or five pages. Five pages they've saved my life. They've changed my life. It's a design for living in those five pages that works. Now, you can't do steps 10, 11 if you haven't done 1 through 9. And then I've gone through those instructions on step 10. And we did the inventory at night, how we retire at night. We constructively review our day. Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Not if I was. Were we? And then, do I owe an apology? Have I kept something to myself that I should have shared with another person at once? Was I kind and loving towards all? Because that's our goal, right? Love and tolerance of others. That's top of page 86, that paragraph. What could I have done better? Was I thinking of myself, or was I thinking of what I could do for others? And it says, I don't want to be careful not to drift in the morbid reflection, because then I can't serve God. And it says, after my review, I say this prayer, I ask God's forgiveness, and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. In other words, God, give me information, meditate on how I should be different tomorrow. And then if you do that, it only takes maybe 5 minutes to do this. You don't have to write out a long thing. Nobody's going to read it anyway. It's for you to just kind of get connected back to God before you go to sleep. Get rid of all the resentments and fears you've had that day so you can start out the next morning fresh. Does that sound like a good idea? So that's why they started it with the nightly instructions. Then they start with the first prayer. Actually, the first prayer was on the inventory at night. I ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures. And then on awakening, and I love the way they wrote this. I don't know how they put this all together. They had other books, remember. They were written by the Oxford group. They had a lot of information that they used. They took some paragraphs and right out of those books. On awakening, let me think about the 24 hours ahead. Notice they say the 24 hours ahead. I don't want to be worrying about tomorrow yet. I just woke up. We consider our plans for the day, and then they say stop, because my plans are just going to get me in trouble. Right? So the first thing I do is I ask God to direct my thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I want the knowledge, before I get out of bed, that God's my director, and I need his help. It shows humility, and it shows how only through him and his power am I going to be able to manage my life. And I want my motives to be from God. I want to do his will, not mine. Remember it says on page 85, we must carry a vision of God's will in all of our activities. His will not mine be done. And then it says, if we do that, we can use our minds all we want, right? Now, they tell us to consider our plans for the day and ask God to direct me. And then now, under these conditions, I can employ my mental faculties. So if I'm running the show, I don't want to use my brain. Does that make sense? And where does the problem reside? In my mind, my thinking. And we inventoried that in steps 4 and 5 to see how my thinking was wrong. And when I do that, I do wrong actions and I don't have a good day and I'm in conflict with everybody and everything. So now I can use my mind. So on page 86, if you do everything up to 86, you can use your mind again. If you're connected to God, you can use your mind. If you're not connected to God, you can't use it. Now, how do you know when you're not connected? You're disturbed. Something's bothering you, someone's bothering you, fear, something. And if you're disturbed, you're not with God. Remember the two rooms? Did anybody like the two-room analogy? We live in a house, Cody, with two rooms. Alcoholics don't realize it, but there's two rooms in their house. And they live in one room. And that room is their world, where they're God. And things don't go well. And they can live their whole life there and die of alcoholism and not even realize there's another room. But there are those fortunates, those who are constitutionally capable of being honest with themselves, who can see that they have a choice between an alcoholic death or spiritual life. And they're surrendered by their disease. And when you do that, and you're completely surrendered by your disease, you can see that there's a door. It's been there your whole life. And the door is the room where God's in charge, and God can manage your life. And when people come in, they don't even realize that. And they don't stay. But the ones who are really defeated, who have really asked God's help, and are totally defeated and are like the desperation of a drowning man, that door appears. And then you go to AA and you hear that there is a power that can relieve you of the insanity of your alcoholism. And you believe that, right? And then you're told that you can't play God anymore. So you're going to make a decision not to play God. Anybody think that's a good idea? Yeah. And then you say, I'm going to try to go into that room. I'm going to actually turn the knob and open the door. And once you do that, then if you work steps 4 through 9, you go into this room, and it says on page 84, we have now entered the world of the Spirit. And you get to live in the world where God is, and I'm not the center of it. And it's a great world. The problem is I keep wanting to go through the door into my world again. And God, there's like a zapping there that zaps you when you start to go. It just zaps you. It says, no, Michael, you don't want to go into your world anymore. Now, what happens to me is when I get back into self, I don't feel good. And that's God zapping me, saying, Michael, get back to me. Because I know today I have a choice. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to do bad actions. I don't have to say bad things. I have a choice today with God. Now, if I'm back with me, party's on. And so I want to stay in that room with God. And this is 84 to 88 is how we stay in that world, because that's the world where you have a design for living that works. That's the world where you're not dominated by fear and anger and shame and guilt and harming others. You've left that behind when you did your steps 1 through 9, and then in this new world, you're going to practice all day long watching for resentment and anger and fear and selfishness. And so it's the world that I want to live in. Anybody else want to live in that? Good. So the prayer to help you live in that room is to immediately ask God to direct your thinking. And then you want to stay connected to God all day long. And to think about today, the second prayer is when you're thinking about your day in the morning, you realize that there might be a time when you don't know what to do. You have indecision. Now, before I came here, I was never indecisive. Anybody ever send a text they regret or say something that you regret? No, I was always very decisive. It's embarrassing. But now I want to be indecisive. And when we are, we don't know what the right course is to be, we go to God. And we meditate on that. So during the day, when I face indecision, I'll know to go to God. And I ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision at those times when I have don't know what's the right thing to do. And I would have that in my work, and I went through that. You know, I don't know what's the best thing. I have different options. I tell the patients, I'll call you tomorrow. I'm gonna pray about it. And they really respected that. And then the options would become clear the next morning. And I don't know how that happened. And then I can relax and take it easy because I'm asking God to give me the right thought or action. I don't have to come up with it. There's always things going on in everybody's life. Patty wants to move and sell the house. Well, I put that in the God box. I gave that to God, whatever it is, honey, whatever you want me to do. And I just wanted to be happy. And so I told, she's worried, indecision, what are we gonna do? Will we have a house if we sell a house? I say, honey, let's just give that to God. And when the time comes, we'll ask him for the right thought or action. We don't need to worry about it today. And so there are other people are going through, everybody's going through something in their lives. And then it says you get used to this working part of your mind when you've made conscious contact with God on page 87. And the more you do this, the more you go to God, the more your thinking will, as time passes, be in the plane of inspiration. You're getting conscious contact with God. God's helping you see things differently. Because you're pausing, which is what we're going to talk to about at the end, and you're going to God. And then it says, we conclude this prayer period of meditation with a prayer, and this is the next right thing prayer. Did you know that? There's a next right thing prayer in the big book. Yeah. Because I used to say, because, you know, I'd mimic what everybody else said, and it'd sound good, and I want approval. I'd say, well, I'm just going to do the next right thing. And I really believe that that was good, but it was my next right thing. I didn't know what the next right thing was. I hadn't worked the steps. I was a mess. And the next right thing is that I'm going to ask God to show me all through the day what my next step is to be. And that's what I'm going to meditate on, that all day long I want God to give me the next step to be. And what's the next step always? To be loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate. That's it. Play the role that he assigns. Be the best brick mason or car dealer or doctor or fireman you can be. Be the best husband, father, son you can be. And then I ask in this prayer, give me whatever I need to take care of such problems. So there's two parts to this. God, show me all through the day what my next step is to be. And God, give me whatever I need to take care of these problems. Now, those are pretty good prayers. That's what I meditated on in the morning. So I'm getting centered that I don't want to run the show. I don't want to make all the decisions. If I have indecision, I go to God. If there's something going on, God, what's the next step for me to do? Give me the power to carry it out. And then, there's more to this prayer. God, give me freedom from self-will. So this period of meditation has four parts to the prayer. I ask especially for freedom from self-will. Why? Because a life run on self-will can never be what? Successful. It's never going to work. When you're in self-will, what do you have? Resentment, wrong judgment. Fear, wrong beliefs, and you take wrong actions. Anybody do any wrong actions? You get shame and guilt. So I don't want to be in self-will. I want to be in God's will. And I'm careful to make no requests for ourselves only. Notice, no requests. I don't ask God for anything for me personally. I just ask him to help me practice his character, how to be the person he created, to not let me practice my character defects. Keep me from selfishness. It's the same thing over and over. It doesn't have to be long. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. But you can ask for others if it will be helped. Now, Joe and Charlie make the point, that you can't ask for a Mercedes so that you could drive people to the meeting. That's not what they're talking about. You get it? I thought it was funny when I heard it. Nobody laughed here, but that's okay. Careful never to pray for unselfish ends. Many have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work. You can easily see why. And God will, and I wrote, God will work when I stop managing. As long as I'm managing my life, God will just watch me. Anybody else see that in their lives? But when I stop and I ask God to take over, things get better. And remember in the 11th step in that 12 and 12, he says, the spiritual axiom, that whenever we're disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with me. And I've had people argue and they give me examples and this and that, and there are horrible things that are done to people. But we have to practice forgiveness. We have to learn how to forgive those and how to change that through our four step. And we're not excusing behavior, but we're forgiving. And so this is the prayer during the day. Good stuff, isn't it? Now, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. I've asked Patty, she hasn't done it yet. I do my prayers really before I get out of bed. And then I immediately start listening to scripture. And that's how I begin my day, getting connected to God. Other people do other things, that's what works for me. I get into the big book. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious, I also like the St. Francis prayer. That's really good, especially if you're new. Especially if you're old. It's a great prayer. It really summarizes the whole deal. It's on the back of the card. And memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Uh-oh. Did you see what they did here? Did you see what he did? He violated the commandment of AA approved literature. You see, he said there are many books which could be helpful. You see, they didn't know about those traditions, and AA-approved literature just means that you can sell it, AA can sell it. Dr. Bob used to read from the Sermon on the Mount at the first AA meetings in Akron. So anything that I think anything's appropriate that helps me seek God. If it's helping me seek God, it's helping me go down the path. Suggestions may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. And here's a great one. Be quick to see where religious people are right. And he's really saying, be quick to see where I am wrong. Because I had a lot of wrong ideas when I came here. I say this and people think I'm stupid. But I'm retired, so I watch shows at night. I like to watch thriller series. And I'm watching this show now that's fantastic. But I've seen it come through on the screen, but I didn't like the picture. I didn't like the name, I didn't like the picture. So I said, it's no good. It's no good, I'm never gonna watch that. And then I don't know, one day I decided to, you know, maybe see what it was about. And it wasn't what I thought it was about. It's fantastic. Now that's happened a lot. There are books I swore I was never gonna read. I didn't like the name or the author's name or whatever. And they were some of the best books I've ever read. I don't want to see where I'm wrong all the time. I'm still not ready to do you know what, but I'm talking to Stu about some private thing. But that's what we want to do. We want to be wrong. Whenever I'm disturbed, I want to be willing to change my mind, see it differently, see where others may be right. This works really well at home if you're living with someone. You're right, honey. Sorry, hopefully that'll never happen again. What can I do to make your day better? you're right, honey. And then here's the most important thing. It's not in the big book, but if you're living with someone, keep your mouth shut. You know, that really works. And here's another one I heard. They will stop talking. You know, when she's in my face, and I just say, yeah, honey, sure. And I know she'll stop talking, and then she'll feel bad, and she'll come back and apologize. But you know, you have to keep your mouth. You don't want to assert yourself. You want to be kind and loving. You want to have mercy all the time. No matter how somebody's being, you want to be loving to them. And you know what? Whenever they bother me, I'm usually wrong. They're fine. So I had enough of my self-analysis now. We're going to move on as we go. That was funny, wasn't it? No. As we go through the day, this is the most important instruction, I think, in the whole book. These instructions here, these are Bill's favorite things. I think this summarizes the whole thing. How do I stay in the room with God? How do I practice the principles in all my affairs? How do I have a successful design for living? As I go through the day, I pause. That's not complicated. Pause when agitated or doubtful. Agitation could be anger. It could be fear, doubtful, upset. When anything's bothering me, pause. Keep my mouth shut. Go right to God and say, God, I'm disturbed right here. Help me. And then here's the prayer. God, give me the right thought or action. And then this is helpful too. I have to remind myself I'm no longer running the show. Now, it doesn't say sometimes, constantly, all day long. We're always going back into self. People tell me they never get disturbed. I've met some of them in AA. Never have fear, never get resentment. I don't know what blood they have. Give me their blood, you know. Because that's just the way we are. But we don't have to stay there, and we don't have to act on them. We don't have to blow them up. Ask for the right thought or action. Constantly reminding self, I'm no longer running the show. And here's what I talked about Saturday, humility. Humbly praying is humility. Asking God in the morning to direct my thinking is humility. At night, asking His forgiveness and corrective measures is humility. Meditating on it through the day, He's going to give me the right thought or action, the power to carry that out. Humility. Humbly saying to myself every day, Thy will be done. It's going to be done anyway. See, that's what I didn't realize. It took me several years in the program. God's will is going to be done. Now, I could try to assert my will, but His will be done, and I'll end up in conflict, and I'll be disturbed. Here's why. Because then we're in much less danger, notice danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. And what he's saying is, if you're disturbed at all, fearful, anger, bothered, pause. Remind yourself you're no longer running the show. Humbly saying to myself, your will be done. Then guess what? I'm not in danger of fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. I want to stop right away. That's the point of AA, is to keep us God-centered and not let us get too far away from Him at any time. Now, the longer you do it, I think I'm getting better at it. But I have a long way to go, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. What did Steve used to say? I'm not... Yeah, and that's true. I may not be perfect. Progress, not perfection, but I'm not like I used to be. We become much more efficient. Why? I'm not wasting energy foolishly by trying to run the show. What a line. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly. Anybody do that? Anybody get disturbed today for 10 or 15 minutes? You're just burning up energy foolishly, trying to arrange life to suit myself. Remember the delusion on page 61 that I had, and I think other people may have had it, but it says, I had a delusion that I could have happiness and satisfaction, wrestle happiness and satisfaction in life if I just managed well. This delusion that if I could just get the things arranged. And you know what? Being a doctor was not great in terms of practicing the principles because I had to be a director at work and help and do that. But the more I let others do And the less I tried to force everything, the better things went. But you never get over that trying to help somebody or trying to, you know, something that could be helpful. Now, the thing is that when you're retired and living with your wife, you don't want to still be practicing directing her life. You get it? And it just doesn't work. And I find that I just keep my mouth shut. I was going to say, honey, do we have to check on this? And I say, no, I don't have to say anything. She knows, and if she doesn't, I can check on it. And so it works even when you're 73. But I wish I'd done this when I was 23. It would have saved me so many bad decisions, and I wouldn't have been burning energy foolishly. Now, I wasn't a mess all the time, but when we look back, you can see it, right? Anybody ever get angry at night about something that happened at work, and you're sitting in the chair stewing about it, and they're home watching Big Bang? They don't care. I was futile and unhappy. A futile life and unhappiness is resentment. A life of resentment is a life of futility and unhappiness. I'm wasting time. The more I permit these things, the more time I'm wasting. I don't want to waste time in fear. Fear is really ridiculous. You know why? It doesn't exist. It's not in the now. It's tomorrow. How can I worry about that? It's tomorrow. Get it? It's so preposterous. And then I'm supposed to be with God in the room, right? But I'm in the past, so I walk through the door. I'm living in that room. If I'm in the fear, I'm living in that room. I don't want to live in that. It's really helped me. These five pages have helped me so much. Guess what? It works. It really does. What works? The God idea works. Practicing these principles works. Doing these prayers and meditation works. The step 10 instructions during the day on page 84 works. Anybody agree it works? It really does. And I have a passion for this because it's really worked in my life. Now, here's the thing. We say it works if you work it. Well, that's true. You never cure. You have a daily reprieve based on your fit spiritual condition. So you have to continue to do it all the time. And then you can laugh at yourself now when you're being silly. I call it being silly, you know. We alcoholics are undisciplined. I think that's true. In fact, that's why it's hard to help people. They don't want any discipline. They don't want instructions. I'll say, call me every day. Well, that's too complicated. I don't understand that. Does that mean every day? So they don't call me. I said, why didn't you call me? Well, I was busy. Or I'll say, read these pages. And then they'll start to get mad at me because I'm giving them directions. And why am I doing that? Because it's worked for me. And I'm just showing them the path. I'm not going to cure them. I don't have that power. But I want them to find the power that works. And people fight it. Alcoholics fight it. And we talked about that when we did the fear exercise, that we're narcissistic personalities and we don't want to take direction from anyone. And those are the people who die. They just don't make it. They just can't give up on themselves. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. Now that could be all 88 pages of Doctor's Opinion. That could be the last two pages. But that's the deal. This is how God disciplines me from getting me out of self. Now what did Bill W. say on page 14 or so? He said, simple but not easy. A price has to be paid. The destruction of self-centeredness. And that's what these steps are designed to do, to destroy my self-centeredness and make me God-centered and allow His power to work. Because I was self-centered and my power didn't work. Did that happen to anybody else? And I don't want to do that anymore. But this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. I think I'll cover faith without works is dead on Saturday. Is that okay? And we'll talk about what that means in AA. I wrote a whole thing on it. I think I'll copy that. And I've got notes here. Because I think that really That's at the end of the steps. Faith without works is dead. If I'm not doing the work, my faith and trust in God is dead. I'm running the show. So I think we'll talk about that, and then I'll decide if we're going to do working with others or go and cover the steps we took on 10 and 11. I might just start with working with others and finish that. Those are the instructions, and then we'll go back, and there's a really good chapter on carrying the message, and there's a real good one on sponsorship, and there's a real good one on steps 10 and 11. I think I'll cover those. Is that okay? Good. All right, I'm going to stop there. Thank you.